Stacy.
Robert.
It's launch day. Launch day for the Planet Money satellite, October 31st, 2017, Halloween.
Today, the Planet Money satellite, Pod 1, is going to space.
So, of course, the first thing we have to do is join the launch crew at a restaurant for pancakes.
Because tradition.
Of course.
Even if we have, like, a launch in the middle of the night, we're doing pancakes now because that's part of how we get ready for a launch.
I think we didn't eat pancakes one time, and the rocket didn't make it to orbit. So we don't mess around with that anymore.
The pancake gods are not to be trifled with.
Get an omelet, lose your rocket.
So that was Mike Safian and Chester Gilmore from the company Planet. You may remember them. They helped build the Planet Money satellite, and they made sure it got here to the coast of California for the launch.
Now, Planet paid for the launch. They're sending up a bunch of small satellites on the same rocket as ours. And so they get the ceremonial place of honor. Chester, he always wears a bow tie, he will be sitting in mission control.
As the spacecraft mission director, highest authority over launch.
Well, what does that mean? You can at the last minute just say, like, we're pulling this, we're not doing it.
I could at the last minute say no go and everything stops.
He is so proud of this title, and everyone else at the table just sort of rolls their eyes at him.
The satellite company they work for is one of those laid-back Silicon Valley firms, but on launch day, there is military precision. There is a definite hierarchy. All of the team leaders sit in a room with headsets, staring at screens, barking commands in the radio, waiting for Chester.
So if things go perfectly, all I'll say is go a couple times. SMD, go for launch.
SMD, go for launch. There's a lot riding on that command. This is the first time Planet has filled an entire rocket with just their satellites. They're taking all of the risk and proving that small satellites, they can have a rocket just like the big kids. People who care about the future of the space business are watching this launch.
And then there's us.
And our satellite, Pod 1.
We are a podcast launching a satellite into space. And this is our one shot at this. We're not going to get a second chance. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Robert Smith. We have the checklist ready for systems check.
Ready.
Rocket status.
Vehicle Minotaur C engineering team is go.
Safety team.
SC is go.
MIFCO. Not sure what you do, but are you ready?
MIFCO, go.
Chester, do the honors.
SMD, go for launch.
Let's do it.
Woo!
Support for Planet Money and the following message come from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage gives you confidence when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. With Rocket Mortgage, you can apply simply and understand all the details so you can mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/money. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
To launch a rocket, you need two things. Well, three things, because you need the rocket, but you also need a vast, empty space with no people for miles around, and an incredible technical infrastructure of radar and communications equipment.
That is why we are launching from a military base just north of Santa Barbara, California, Vandenberg Air Force Base.
Which, at least on this morning, might be the most deserted place on the California coast. On launch day, the military clears the beaches, keeps boats away, stops planes from flying overhead.
Now, this is a completely commercial launch. Orbital ATK built the rocket. Planet rented the space on board for its satellites. But because it's on a military base, there are military personnel involved in every part of the launch.
And military protocols and military traditions. I mean, personally, I just wanted to see our little satellite, Pod 1, blast into space. But there are things that we had to do first. We had paperwork and errands that we had to run around the base. First stop is a bland little office building called J-Spock.
Like Spock Spock?
Like S-P-O-C, the Joint Space Operations Center.
I'm going to think of it like Spock.
They're sort of the air traffic control of space. We have to check in with them to make sure our satellite isn't being launched smack dab into another satellite. Boom.
Lieutenant Colonel Mia Walsh and Diana McKissick are already on the case.
And they're probably doing a check right about now.
To make sure that our rocket will make it through and nothing but clear space ahead.
Correct.
So we will track it all the way from when it launches as it goes through its different trajectories as it reaches its final orbit, and then we'll monitor it the entire time.
J-Spock is the keeper of a list that I had never heard of before, the Space Catalog, which is exactly as amazing as it sounds. The Space Catalog is a list of everything that anyone has ever sent into orbit.
the catalog itself includes every single object, man-made object, since Sputnik. However, currently we only track 23,000 objects that are currently still on orbit.
The way JSPOC tracks these 23,000 objects is amazing. They have radar and telescopes, and they actually watch the objects moving through the sky. They can spot something the size of a softball hurtling around the planet.
And over the life of our satellite, if our little pod one gets within a kilometer of anything else, so potentially might crash into something, they will send us an email.
They have an email system.
That says, watch out, Planet Money. You might want to move your satellite.
These emails are a free service of the U.S. government. Don't say they never gave you anything. They send them to satellite owners all around the world anytime a satellite comes close to another satellite, which is amazing. But they're trying to avoid an incident like the one that happened in 2009.
The infamous Iridium Cosmos.
Yeah, a dead Russian satellite called Cosmos 2251 collided with a communications satellite, Iridium 33. And we don't know if it made a sound. We don't know what the collision looked like. But JSPOC saw it on the screen, and from their point of view, it was frightening.
So our radars actually said it should be one object here and one object there, but now it appears to be hundreds of different objects.
No. No, when they collided, it created hundreds of little bits of satellite.
It actually overall created 2,000 pieces of debris, which we still all track to this day.
Every little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, some have decayed and reentered, but we
do can't. They stay together as a little cloud, or
no.
Do they? No.
They disperse, and they come close to other satellites. So we're constantly tracking these pieces of debris, and now they're actually causing close approaches with other satellites still, what, 8 years later?
This is bringing up my whole space junk anxiety problem.
Yes. Well, it would be terrible for Pod 1 to go down in infamy by smashing into the International Space Station, for
Always
example.
Bad.
But JSPOC tells us that space is much bigger than we can conceive. There are tens of thousands of objects up there, but there's still plenty of room. We have a clear path through.
Fingers crossed. All right, JSPOC, check. We have one more stop before launch. It is a golf course owned by the military base, although they didn't really use it for that anymore. They use it for parties, like this one.
There's one of those big white wedding tents all set up. There is a taco truck and a selfie station.
You can take a picture with a model of a satellite, and of course we did.
There's a nice buffet. And this is where the folks from Planet, our partner satellite company, have come to set up shop.
We had to confirm all the scheduling pieces of today with Planet. They do technically own our satellite. We should be upfront about that. And they will be doing all of the maneuvering once Pod 1 is in space.
Because nobody wants to let a podcast steer a satellite.
Not a chance. We don't even really know what's going to happen today. The co-founder and the CEO of the company, Will Marshall, was there. We asked him, so where exactly will the rocket go?
Hopefully mainly up.
Yeah, mainly up and over there?
Laterally, so that it gets around the Earth.
You have to make it simple for the podcasters.
We appreciate it. Will is an old hand at this. This is Planet's 20th launch. They have roughly 200 small satellites in orbit. So many satellites that they usually do not have a party, do not have a buffet or a selfie station. But this one was so close to their San Francisco office that they brought in everybody.
In about an hour, Will is going to give a short speech, just like at a wedding. But unlike at a wedding, hopefully, Will is going to warn everyone that the day could end in failure and disaster.
Launches can get delayed. That happens quite a lot. So bear with us if it gets delayed. And occasionally they blow up. And that's very unfortunate, of course, and all the work that we put into those satellites. But
do you say that to the party?
Absolutely, yeah, because we have to be remember that if that happens, we've got a backup plan, which is we've got for next launches that are coming up in a few more months. So get people prepared. But generally, it's also just about having fun and watching this launch. If it's successful, it will be a really, really fun day.
I have to say, I have been impressed with how comfortable Will and everyone at Planet is with this concept of risk. Back in the old days when NASA was the only game in town, I mean, obviously, nobody wanted to take a risk with human beings on board and billion-dollar spacecraft. But the advantage of these small satellites and these cheaper rockets is that the stakes are just lower. You can take more chances. You can try new technologies. You can invent things faster. And if something goes wrong, Will says, you just try again.
And we ask Will how we will know if this risk paid off, if Pod 1 made it to space, if our mission was successful. And he gives us these magic words to listen for on the walkie-talkie.
Normally, we pop the champagne when we get confirmation that it was successfully injected into orbit.
And what does he say if it's successful?
They will say satellite separation.
Satellite separation. Then Pod 1 will be free of the Earth, free of the rocket, and finally out on its own.
And we would love to stay and hear Will's speech and possibly check out the taco truck because it did look very delicious. But we were offered a chance to get closer to the launch pad. So, of course, we said yes.
This is it. It's finally happening.
Our rocket is going up in about 90 minutes.
We drove to the meeting spot on the other side of the Air Force Base. We got on this old school bus and were driven miles into the most remote part of the base to a little patch of dirt and scrub brush.
So we can't see the rocket, but they tell us it is just over the ridge.
There are just a few people here, military officers, photographers, people from the rocket company, Orbital ATK, people like John Steinmeier.
The pad is evacuated for at least a couple of miles away. We're probably about as close as anyone at the site here.
You may remember John from our very first episode. He stands next to us, helping us decode the launch chatter that comes over this walkie-talkie that we're holding.
LC, vehicle, FTS internal voltage and current are nominal. Can I copy that, vehicle?
Nominal is our favorite word.
What does nominal mean?
Everything is okay.
Nominal?
Yeah.
That is, I think, the most sort of calm. If there's a word that is calmer than nominal, I've never heard it.
So if someone says it is non-nominal?
Probably off-nominal.
Off-nominal?
Off-nominal. Yeah, that means big trouble.
It means run.
It means it's not nominal.
It's all fun and jokes until we get within a couple minutes of the launch. Then, suddenly, everyone gets really quiet.
T-minus 30 seconds.
They said T-minus. They said T-minus.
I don't know why everyone's whispering.
We're whispering because it's very serious and tense at the launch site, and we're getting all of this very critical information at a very low volume over like a circa 1985 walkie-talkie.
They do give us one final tip. They said, listen, do not be alarmed when you don't hear the rocket.
The rocket is apparently so far away that we will see it first, and then the sound will wash over us.
I have this weird feeling like when you're in a chair and you tilt back and you're about to fall and you pull yourself back. It's that level of like fear and anticipation. And I find myself hoping that whatever happens in the space business, this moment never changes.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition.
I don't hear anything.
Vehicle is clear of the tower. UMVs are disconnected.
Whoa, it's so bright.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa. Oh, it's shooting up so fast. Oh, you can
There's barely a stare at it. There's a flame behind it. Whoa.
Oh my God.
Whoa, it's hard to look at it.
Attitude remains nominal as the Castor 120 stage zero motor propels the 104-foot tall Minotaur C vehicle away from Vandenberg Air Force Base.
That looked successful?
I don't know.
This was a really strange moment. I mean, I was standing there holding a bottle of champagne. We just watched a rocket shoot into the sky. It seemed like everything had gone well, but everyone is standing around the walkie-talkie, staring at the ground, looking like deadly serious, like heart attack serious.
Because it's not about the rocket. Everyone's waiting to hear about the satellites. That's what everyone here paid for. It's the most crucial part of the mission, and it's about to happen.
Everybody's waiting. Everybody's crowded around the walkie-talkie.
Stage 1 TVA has been pressurized. Stage 0 has burned out.
So we're following along with this, trying to sort of picture what is happening right now in space. And then that calm voice says something pretty terrifying.
And ROC, this is vehicle on countdown 1. We have negative telemetry in the center here at building 836. Was just hoping you could confirm the track of the vehicle via radar.
That means they've lost contact with it, I think.
Negative telemetry. So we can't see the rocket anymore. It's gone through the clouds. It's up in the atmosphere somewhere. And apparently it has stopped sending data back to mission control. It's not communicating with mission control anymore. It has stopped sending data back to Earth. They don't know what's going on.
And I for some reason, I just keep looking up to the sky like I'm going to see something before they do.
And once again, we have negative telemetry in the center.
It is so quiet, and you can feel the tension in the air.
And then?
This is vehicle on countdown one. We have recovered telemetry in the center. We are now 230 seconds into the flight.
That's good.
Are we in the clear? I literally thought I was going to throw up while that was happening.
I was already writing the end of the series in my mind, and it was not a happy ending.
But even though we can't understand what on earth the man said, it's clear that everything is back on track, perfectly normal. The covering at the top of the rocket has opened up.
And at this point, we're just listening for any mention of the Planet Money satellite, Pod 1. They do not call it by the name Pod 1. The nickname on the launch chatter is Dove 3. And so the greatest moment in Planet Money history almost just goes by us. It's so quick.
Expected deployment of Doves 1 and 3.
That's it. Let's do it.
Woo!
Woo!
All right.
Other people paid the money. Other people did the work. But we did the reporting. Cheers.
Cheers.
It must have been the good luck pancakes.
Well, we did it. Somewhere up above the Earth is a CUBE satellite with our name on it.
That I've touched. It says Planet Money Pod 1, and there's a waveform of our voices on the side. And if you could read it in space, whoever that would be, it would say, hello and welcome to Planet Money.
The Planet Money satellite is official. It is now circling the Earth.
Our producer, Elizabeth Kulas, has been holding the microphone this whole time through this incredibly tense moment, recording everything, not saying a word. And now you can tell she is a little bit choked up.
I'm kind of emotional. I thought that was really beautiful. I nearly started crying while I saw it. I couldn't believe that human ingenuity could be so amazing.
I could just stand here all day looking at the sky, thinking about what had just happened.
Imagining Pod 1.
But this is a military base, and they are already checking their watches and pointing to the bus and being like, Planet Money, time to go.
So we gather up our microphones and the plastic champagne glasses.
And our goodie bags and our newfound knowledge of space lingo.
It's been a nominal day.
Extremely nominal day. And we walk back to the school bus and head home. Meanwhile, 300 miles above our head,
a satellite is born, and not a soul can see it.
90 minutes after launch, Pod 1 makes its first full orbit of the Earth. It whips over the North Pole at 17,000 miles per hour.
At this point, it's just a spinning box. Picture a loaf of bread tumbling through the sky.
But somewhere in the first few hours, it speaks for the first time. It's just a ping that says, I'm here. I'm alive.
Over the next couple of weeks, the computers that control Pod 1 try to stabilize the craft. There are these little wheels that spin inside of the satellite, and each time you change the spin, it nudges the satellite a little.
By mid-November, Pod 1 is stable, and its solar panels have unfolded. It is a camera now, and it is pointed down at Earth.
And just this week, just in time to finish the series, we get a call from Planet. Our satellite has taken its first pictures. This moment is called First Light.
First Light. We were so excited. Took a while to set up the conference call, though. I'm now hearing an echo again.
Okay.
Is that because...
technology.
You know, we can send a satellite to space, right?
I know, right.
Okay, so Stacy, Mike has sent us an email here with a batch of photos. Let me pull it up here. It's the Earth. This is the first thing that Pod 1 ever saw.
Oh my God, there it is. It's like blue and white.
So the first strip of images was collected over northeastern Russia.
Ah, like Siberia, Sakhalin, that kind of thing.
So somewhere under those clouds is Russia.
Yeah. And those are just the first crappy photos.
First pancake?
It does get better, look.
So the next image is in North Korea, everyone's favorite place to zoom around in via satellite.
Oh, no way. North Korea? I have always wanted to see North Korea, and there it is.
I think that is a runway.
Oh.
And you can see mountains, and you can see this road here and some buildings.
And a big river.
There are little tiny boats on the river.
Oh, where hasn't? It's already seen more of the world than I have.
We can see it all.
I feel like this is a cliche, but the Earth looks really beautiful from 300 miles up. It's really extraordinary to see the world in this way.
I've seen a lot of photos from space, but these feel personal. It's like when your toddler draws her first picture.
Oh.
But I better check with Mike. Mike, how do these photos compare with the other satellites you have?
This is pretty good. I'm quite pleased with Pod 1's performance.
I feel like I knew Pod 1 was gifted.
When I was talking to the people who work at Planet, they said one of the things they enjoyed about this series was to see people excited about satellites again. I mean, they have almost 200 of them, and Mike was telling me he just sort of thinks of it as a cloud of satellites and not a like a single miraculous thing.
I think that it's in some ways I think about it as like commercial air travel. It used to be a really big deal when an airplane was flying, and now it's just kind of like, oh man, got to get to New York and the thing's 20 minutes late. It's a sign of progress.
I don't know how to feel about that. I know that's progress, but it's kind of sad.
Well, I know what you mean.
I don't want to end this whole thing in sad way. Give me an inspirational way for us to end this.
You have a satellite in space. There's nothing to be sad about. It is zooming around, taking pictures of everywhere imaginable. It's a satellite.
It's a satellite. It's a satellite.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Capital One. Keep your credit score at peace with the CreditWise app from Capital One. Get alerts each time your credit is pulled and when your TransUnion credit report changes. Plus, it's free for everyone. Download the CreditWise app today.
Hey, I just wanted to thank all of you, the listeners, for sticking with us through our space mission. I sort of felt like we were doing it on behalf of all of you. So please send us an email. Tell us what you thought, planetmoney@npr.org, or you can find us on Twitter or Facebook. We have been getting all of your emails about a possible future mission for Pod 1, and we will have a follow-up episode in a few months where we use our satellite to hopefully change the world.
For the better.
Didn't say that. Today's episode was produced by the wonderful Elizabeth Kulas, who produced the entire space series and made it happen.
Alex Goldmark is our supervising producer, and Bryant Erstadt is our editor.
Special thanks go to David Gerson and Jordi Pushwari, to Michael Stonecipher out at Vandenberg Air Force Base, who kept us on time and on mission. And a special, special thanks to Trevor Hammond and all of the people at Planet, who believed in us and let us adopt a satellite. One of their company's missions is to teach people about the world, to make the world a smaller, better place. And they were fantastic in allowing us, you know, this view inside the small satellite industry we would never have gotten otherwise. So thanks to Planet.
And this whole adventure, in fact, all of Planet Money, would not be possible without the amazing support of NPR and the amazing support of the member stations. And so this month, if you enjoyed the series and would like to hear more, please think about giving to your local member station. Visit donate.npr.org/planetmoney to give, and then share why you did with the hashtag WhyPublicRadio.
I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for listening.
One last thing, Stacey, remember when I mentioned the space catalog?
Yes.
Here it is, right here. You'll notice at the top of the list. At the top of the list,
Sputnik.
Is Sputnik.
That's awesome.
And let me go to the bottom of the list. Right here, catalog number 42,996. The 42,996th thing that ever went to space is the Planet Money satellite.
Is that us?
That is us.
Robert Smith, we're official.
We're in the catalog, 42996.
I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
I'm Cardiff Garcia.
and we are here with a new show.
The Indicator.
It's 3 days a week, it's about 5 minutes per show, and it is from the people who make Planet Money.
Mostly about work, business, and the economy.
On every show, we take some number in the news, or a term, or a story, and we dive into it to find the big idea behind it. And what we really hope is that in every show...
Well, look, at least almost every show...
We'll bring you a new idea.
Some new lens through which to see the world. The Indicator from Planet Money.